Okay, let's go into prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we just come once more giving you praise, honor, and glory because, Lord, you're worthy to be praised, worthy to be honored, worthy to be glorified, worthy to be magnified and exalted. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Lord, we ask, oh God, the anointing, Lord, would be on this lesson. I ask that you would give me utterance to deliver it. Give your people a receptive heart, Lord. Cause this teaching to fall on good ground and bring forth fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We're teaching tonight, justified. We're justified by the blood of Jesus. Okay, so we all know the story from the beginning. When man sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, when they were lured into disobedience and they ate from the one tree that God told them not to eat from, sin entered the world. Man fell. His relationship with God was broken. Okay? In Genesis 3, verse 8, reading from verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They were afraid. Before they ate, they weren't afraid. They had fellowship with God. Then they disobeyed, and sin came. And when they heard God calling for them, they suddenly, you know, fear entered. And so they hid themselves. And so, verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. See, this is what sin does. It brings fear. Fear, you know, into our lives. Years ago, I remember, this is not my note, part of my notes, but it I think it relates. When my little grandson Isaiah was probably just a little over a year old, and my husband was doing some work on the roof of our house, and we had a ladder that was on the deck that led up to the roof. Now, he is a toddler, and he wanted to go up to the roof where his grandpa was. And I'm standing there looking at him, and this child had absolutely no fear. He was, I stood there watching him climb this ladder, and I said to myself, I can't believe he's not afraid. So, I decided just to wait a bit and see how far he would get before he backed down. Nope, that child was going up to that roof. And I was the one who was afraid. He had no fear. And I ran and grabbed him, you know, and he tried to climb the ladder again, no fear. See, he was innocent. He didn't know what danger was, you know. I mean, there was a possibility that he could have made it, but, you know, as a responsible parent, I just couldn't let him do that. I was the one that was in fear. Him, in his innocence, he had no fear. As far as he was concerned, he could do it. Adam and Eve were innocent. They had no fear of anything until sin came. And then suddenly, they heard the voice of God, and it scared them, and so they hid. Fear, sin, not only does it bring fear and it comes, it strips us of our right standing, strip us of the glory that surrounds us and make us feel ashamed. Adam and Eve, they were surrounded by the glory of God. The glory of God was their clothes. When sin came in, the glory departed, and suddenly they realized they were naked. They felt ashamed. They felt inferior. They felt not good enough. You know, they felt unworthy in their present condition. So what did they do? They hid themselves. And we all know what happened next. God killed an animal and made clothes for them. It's important to recognize that in order for them to be clothed, blood had to be shed. Now fast forward to when Jesus came and he hung on the cross and he died. He shed his blood to save us, to clothe us, to bring us back into a right fellowship, right relationship with God. And everything changed, the dynamics changed. When Jesus shed his blood, the dynamics changed. This past week, I was listening, I can't exactly pinpoint who it was, I listened to so many, but this one person's bringing out this point. I think it was Perry Stone. You know, that as human beings, we're flesh and blood. Okay, we have a father and we have a mother and we're flesh and blood. But Jesus, even though he had an earthly mother, did not have an earthly father. So where did his blood come from? You know, I never thought about that. But it, you know, when the Bible says that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and she conceived, that was God's blood. It wasn't man's blood. Joseph wasn't his dad, his earthly dad, his earthly father. It was God. Do we wonder when Jesus shed his blood, that it took care of everything? He had the blood of God flowing through him, okay? And so, when Jesus came and he shed his blood, it atoned not only for our present sin, it atoned for our past sins, it atoned for our future sins. Any sin that we could have committed, the blood of Jesus Christ took care of that. Which brings us to the topic, justification through the blood of Jesus. Not only did the blood wash our sins away and made us righteous, put us in right standing with God. That's what righteous means. Right standing with God. Adam and Eve were in right standing with God until sin came, and then they fell out of right standing. And because we are their descendants, we inherited their fallen nature. It also made us justified in God's eyes. I'm going to read this again. Not only did the blood wash our sins away and made us righteous, it also made us justified in God's eyes. So I looked up the definition of the word justified, and it means to declare innocent or guiltless, to absolve, to acquit, to be made free. Because of Adam's one act of disobedience, all it took was one person to sin, and the whole human nature was stained with the blood, with sin. Our blood was sin, became sinful. We were no longer righteous. Romans 5:19, King James Version says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous." One man's sin, the whole human race was condemned. One man shed his blood. Only thing, this man was pure. This man was holy. This man was righteous. This man was carrying the blood of his father. And so, you know, we were cleansed from our sins. Now, I looked at this in another translation, and I think this is the God's Word translation. This is Romans 5:19. Clearly, through one man's disobedience, through one man's disobedience, humanity became sinful, and through one man's obedience, humanity will receive God's approval. That's why Adam and Eve hid themselves. They no longer felt they had God's approval because the glory had departed from them. They saw themselves now in a different light. They were no longer pure and holy and righteous. Now they were sinful. Okay? One man's sin put man at odds with God. That's why Adam and Eve, that's why they had to hide. They felt afraid, brought fear. They felt unworthy to face God, not good enough, inferior. They knew they no longer measured up to God's holy standards. How many times have we found ourselves in that same situation? You know, we got angry with someone, chewed them out, or we had a bad attitude, and then when we go to pray, then this thing is nagging us. Oh, you know, I can't pray because, you know, my attitude, and of course, you know, Satan is going to be right there to fan the flames. Well, you can't pray. Look what you did. Look how you acted towards sister so-and-so. Look how you acted towards brother so-and-so. I was fussing one Sunday morning with my son. I can't remember what he did, but oh my, you know, sometimes kids can just push all your buttons. And so I just went off on him. And I fussed with this child from the time we pulled out of our driveway to the time we got into the parking lot. So I stepped out the car, and you know, a brother met me at church, and he was all perky and everything, and he said, "Good morning, Sister Jam." And I was like, "Ah." It was awful, you know? And so I went in the back, and I tried to get myself together, you know, kind of came in church, and praise and worship started and everything. And who was parked on my shoulder reminding me of how I acted? Satan. Well, you know, you really can't go into no praise and worship. Look how you chewed, you know, look how you chewed your son out. Look what you did. I mean, it was just on and on, and I stood there, and at first I began to say, yeah, you know, I can't praise God in this thing. And then, like, something just rose up within me, and I told myself, nope, I'm not going down this road with you, Satan. I came here, and I am going to praise God. And so I had to focus. It took some energy and some effort, but I focused. And I tell you, I got into that praise and worship, and I shut everything out. I closed my eyes just as tightly as I could get it so I can focus. And I just, it just flew away. See, this is what it does. You know, he comes, this guilt. You know, you feel condemned. You feel not worthy. And you know, you just feel like, well, I can't because, oh, you know, I did this. Or I can't go to church this morning because so-and-so. Or I can't because, I didn't pray this week, or I didn't read my Bible. This is what, you know, fear will do in our lives. It will condemn us. But the word justifies, exonerates us. We're exonerated. We're acquitted. We're no longer guilty under the blood of Jesus. We're not standing before God guilty when we have had the blood of Jesus applied to us. You know, we're relieved, we're liberated, we're free from the enemy's condemnation, from his judgment. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. Where, you know, he not only makes us righteous, but he justifies us. The Passion Translation says, "And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard a powerful declaration." Now the blood speaks. We all know the blood speaks. The blood of Jesus has made this declaration. This is the declaration the blood of Jesus has made for us. "You are now righteous in my sight." The blood says we're righteous. "And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God." Isn't that amazing? We don't have to fear God's wrath anymore. You know, we don't have to fear, have that fear of judgment, that awful judgment. The blood of Jesus, you know, says that we're free. We've been made righteous in God's sight. You know, so many Christians, because of their past, you know, background or things that they may have done, when they get saved, Satan just keeps bringing up their past. And, you know, he wouldn't let it go. He uses it to beat them up. And they feel guilty. They feel condemned. You know, God is saying you're free. You're cleansed. There is none of your record against you. Can't go and find it any place. One time in children's church, I did an example with the kids. We were talking about what the blood of Jesus does. And, you know, I wrote something on the blackboard, and then I took an eraser and I just wiped it off totally. And I asked them, now, where is it? Where, you know, what was written here, where is it? And they were looking. He couldn't find a trace of it. I made sure the eraser was really clean. You know, the blood of Jesus, that's how we're justified. It's gone. Gone, 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 gone. That was a song we used to sing. I used to sing in Sunday school. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my heart is free, and there's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I can live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. You know, God isn't holding stuff against us. He doesn't have a book where he's just waiting when we mess up to go and bring up what we did. You know, sometimes as human beings, when people, when they do us an injustice or stuff, and we'll say, oh, I forgive you. But then, you know, something will trigger that memory at some point in time, and we'll remember it. We may not say anything to the person about what they did, but we remember what they did. You know, God doesn't remember it. He does not remember it. We're the ones who remember, and we're the ones that like to remind God. Oh, God, I'm sorry, sir. And God is sitting there, what are you talking about? You know, it's not there. It's gone. Gone forever. The blood of Jesus Christ has made that declaration that we have been forgiven. We have been made free. When the enemy, who is our accuser, when he levels his accusations, you know he's always out to accuse us of something. The last time I taught on righteousness, I think I said, I just don't know, you know, he never gets tired. You know, he's always there looking to accuse us of something or the other. But, you know, the blood justifies us, declares us guilt-free, and says that we are no longer under condemnation. There is no condemnation. Not even a hint of our trespasses can be found. Romans 6, verse 5 says, for if we have come united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's what justification does. It makes us united with him in death. And when, because he arose triumphantly over the grave, we will also arise one day. The Passion Translation says, for since we are permanently grafted into him, to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him, to experience a resurrection like his, and the new life it imparts. See, we've been grafted in. We have been grafted into the olive branch, into the real olive tree. We are now like him. We're like him. Now we may look at ourselves and we may say, oh, I don't know, you know. But God says we're like him. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us like him. It's amazing what the blood does. You know, our nature, we have that God-like nature. We gravitate towards, you know, righteousness, towards godliness. Justification affords us the right to experience the resurrection like Jesus had, experience a new life when he arose from the dead, so we can agree with 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The death of sting was taken away forever. Sure, we may die physically, but this house of flesh that we live in, this is not the real us. There's a man, there's a spirit man inside of us. Yes. That's the real us, you know. This flesh will decay, but our spirit lives. Jesus died so we can live, so that we can have life and have it, you know, more abundantly. Just like death and the grave couldn't hold Jesus down, death cannot hold us down either, because we're justified through the blood of Jesus, and we'll arise just like he arose. There is no reason, there is no excuse, there is nothing that will give death authority to hold us. It's impossible. He couldn't hold Jesus. Satan thought he had him. You know, I mean, they were down in hell or wherever they hang out. They were celebrating until the stone was rolled away. Jesus arose. We are going to be just like him. Because he lives, we are going to live also. Justification through the blood makes us heirs of God, and the right to call him Father. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. That's what the word says. We are joint heirs. Some info was discovered and some property my dad willed me when he died, and I never knew this, but you know, I always knew that my great-grandfather had willed this property that I grew up on to my dad. That's all I heard. But in the when my great nephew was looking for some information to try to, you know, transfer the property into my name, we discovered that my dad wasn't the only heir. There was another heir, my aunt, and she had died. She died way before my time. She wasn't married, didn't have any kids. But I thought that my dad was the sole heir. But no, he was joint heir with his sister. We are joint heirs with Jesus. That's what justification, that's right. The benefits of being justified through the blood. We become joint heir with Jesus. Whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to us. Amen. Yes, it does. We, you know, the enemy may try to bamboozle us into thinking, no, you know, because he's Jesus, you can't. But the word says that we are heir and joint heirs. And when we become justified through the blood of Jesus, we have the right now, you know, we have the benefit of being joint heir, and we get to call God, now we get to call him Father. He's not just God, he's Father. Galatians 4:6-7. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. We're not strangers. We're in the family. Amen. We are God's children. You know, when we come to God, we just don't have to come to him as God. I mean, you know, he is God. We know that. But we get to take it a step further. We get to call him Daddy, Abba, Father. Isn't that wonderful? God is our Father. The blood of Jesus Christ saw to that. He justified us so that we are no longer slaves. We are not outcasts. We are not you know, just someone who hangs around. We are children of the Most High God. Before Jesus shed his blood, we were strangers. We were total strangers. We were alienated. Sin isolated us. made us estranged, made us feel like we're, you know, no worthy to be in God's presence. That's why Adam and Eve hid. They did not feel that they were worthy to be in God's presence, so they hid themselves. I know ladies can, you can relate to this, maybe not the guys so much, but have you ever been at home and you know, somebody shows up at your house that you weren't expecting, and you weren't dressed, or your hair wasn't right, and you're making a quick dash, you know, to, you know, to, you know, pull back the hair, or maybe, you know, put some makeup on really quick, and, you know, to make yourself presentable. That's how Adam and Eve felt. They didn't feel like they were presentable. They, you know, they were naked, they were ashamed, the glory had departed, they were hiding. The blood of Jesus changed that, totally changed the dynamics. We can come just as we are, you know, and be made righteous when we believe on Jesus and the shed work on, that he did on Calvary's cross. And then that blood applied to our hearts justifies us now to become heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. It justifies us, you know, so that we can say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? It justifies, it gives us reason so that when we die, we can arise. That's what the, you know, that's what justification does for us. We are no longer inferior. We no longer have to feel isolated or estranged. We can boldly go into his presence. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We don't have to come like wimps. You know, we don't have to come all hunched over with our head buried, you know. No, we can boldly come because of who God now is to us, our Father. Not some, you know, fierce God sitting on a throne just waiting to whack us over the head when we mess up. You know, we can come to God now because he's a loving God. He's a loving Father. He wants to embrace us. He wants to help us. He wants to, you know, have a relationship with us. He wants us to draw near to him. He wants to endow us with gifts and blessings. That's who he is, you know, and we can know when we can come to him boldly because now we're justified by his blood. We're justified by the blood of Jesus. We no longer need a priest. Back in biblical days, you know, the people couldn't go to God on their own. They needed a priest to go and offer sacrifices for them and all that stuff. When Jesus died on the cross, and the Bible said that the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. It was, you know, that wall was that was separating us. Now give us the freedom to go boldly. We can come to God. We can present our case, present our petition, and we can come boldly. We don't have to be afraid. Oops. Justification through the blood of Jesus has not only torn down that wall that separated us, and it now makes it possible for us to come before our Heavenly Father. Not as God, but Father. You know, we have kids. You know, when our kids mess up or they do something and they're mad with us for a hot minute or we're mad with them for a hot minute, well, it doesn't stay like that forever, does it? You know, when, if our kids get in trouble, don't we want to run and rescue them? You know, don't they call for us when they need help? They call. Why do they feel like they can do that? Because of who we are to them. And that's what the blood has done for us, right? When we mess up, when we have fallen short and the enemy is beating us up over the head, we don't have to sit there and take that condemnation. We can cry out, Abba, Father, help me. We have the right to do that, and God will hear us. So Righteousness and justification, they sort of go hand in hand. I like to say they're twins because they work together. Righteousness puts us in right standing with God. It and removes condemnation and the stain of sin, of death and death. Justification, like righteousness, it's an act of faith. We have to have faith. You know, we're not justified by works. We can't earn our salvation. We can't earn our righteousness. This is an act of faith that we have to do. Remember Abraham? He was justified by works. Excuse me. It has not been a smooth afternoon. The Bible said that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed. That's all he did, was believe. Right? We can do the same. We believe. When we believe, not only are we put in right standing, but now we're justified. You know, we're acquitted. We are freed. We are exonerated. We have the right to call God Father. We have, you know, we have the right to be a joint heir with Jesus. Whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to us. Did you know that? Yep. And he's willing to share. You know, he's not up there just trying to, you know, grab everything for himself. He loves us just like his Father there does. And that's why he came and he willingly shed his blood so that we can be justified through faith and become the righteousness of God in Christ. So that's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. It gives us, what's the word? The right to call God Father. It gives us the right to arise over death, to be victorious over death, just like Jesus was. It gives us the right, you know, to be a joint heir with Jesus. Wouldn't you like to know that, you know, if someone was to come and tell you, oh, you know, this stuff here was yours the whole time, you were an heir, and you didn't know it. Would you like that? You know, I didn't know. I thought my dad was the only heir on this property, but there was another heir. We are heirs. Jesus he was the original one, but then we were grafted in, and we are joint heirs with him. So, you know, I would encourage you tonight, when you're being discouraged, when the enemy is beating you up over the head, when he's trying to bring up your past, don't allow it. It's been buried. It's gone. You are free. You've been exonerated. You are guiltless. You're standing before God guiltless. When the books are open, there's no record there of what you did or didn't do. You know, you're an heir of God. You're an heir of the kingdom, and joint, you know, you're joint heir with Jesus. And you know, we can be victorious if we just know this. You know, instead of allowing him to beat us up and make us feel guilty and make us feel not worthy, and we're hiding, and you know, we don't want to come to church because we've been absent, you know, for 4 weeks, and so now if I show up, oh, you know, they're going to be looking at me funny. No, come to the house of God. God says come. The enemy wants us to run away. He wants us to stay away, but God says come. Right? When we come, you know, God is not waiting to judge us. He's not waiting to condemn us. He's not waiting to ask us, well, why, where were you, why? No, he's happy to see us. Yes. Just like the prodigal son, his father was happy. He was looking for him. Yes. When he looked up the road and saw that figure coming down the road, he recognized his son immediately, and he ran.
Yes.
And it didn't even end there. He threw a big party for him, gave him a robe, put a ring on his finger. That's what our Father is waiting to do for us. All we have to do is receive the blood, the precious blood that was shed for us.